the word with you today, and we're going to be taking our reading from mainly from the book of Job. Then, by God's grace, we are going to see, take a look at several other passages and try to get a better understanding of the main text that we are going to be taking from the book of Job. Now, there is a verse here I thought we could use as a basic verse for today. And then from this verse, we are going to be moving on with the other readings. This one comes from the book of Job, chapter number 7, verse 17. And the verse here talks about the state of man. I mean, how man is inferior if you look at it from the perspective of how great God is, and yet God cares so much about man. And he says here, "What is man that you make so much of him, and that you set your heart on him? What is man that you make so much of him, and that you set your heart on him?" Okay, let us pray before we move on. Lord, anoint my tongue this morning. Touch my heart. And as we study your words together, may you use me to speak, and that you'll give us revelations as we hear these words. Give us broadness of mind to understand, and open our hearts to accept it, and live in the light of the words that you're going to be speaking to our hearts today. Lord, the topic we're going to be touching on is not easy, but you, Lord, are able to give us that level of understanding that is required to grasp your word. Manifest your power, Lord, as we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, the book of Job, it touches on one of the most difficult issues, or also one of the most pertinent aspects of life, and as whether God cares about us. It talks about the problem of suffering. I want to believe that the book or the story of Job is not strange for you. I remember when I was younger, my father used to buy all these stories, those booklets for children with those cartoons and different stories from the Bible. And one of the most common stories that I would see in those books were the story of Joseph and how his father had bought him this cloth. And because of this cloth, his brothers became jealous. Another story was the story of Job. And we'd see the story of Samson killing the lion. So I believe the story of Job is one that is very common if you look at the Old Testament literature. And you know that Job went through some problems and he suffered in his life for no apparent reason. Right, so the book of Job talks about the problem of suffering. And suffering that comes to people who seem not to deserve suffering. And I'm into apologetics and how people wrestle with this idea, is God real? Does God exist? Does God really care about people? And one of the points that those who do not believe in God catch is that if God really cares about us, if God really created us, if there's a God outside there, why there is so much suffering in the world? Why do people suffer and die? Why do children suffer? Why do innocent people suffer and go through all those bad things if God really exists, if he really cares, right? So the book of Job addresses this or deals with, it shows us a picture, right? It does not address really, but it talks about suffering. Now, the problem of suffering, many people have been trying to find the answer for so many, many centuries, and no one has a definite answer. Why is it that there is so much evil in this world? Now, this morning also, I'm not going to give you a definite answer that will convince you or give you a full light of the problem of suffering and how do we deal with it. But I just want to us to read a couple of texts and gain, I would say, some kind of perspective. We look at suffering. My intention with this exposition this morning is that we will look at suffering from another light, a different light, right? We will look at suffering from a different perspective. So that's what I'm hoping by God's grace to accomplish with this exposition this morning. Now, the book of Job, it is divided into four parts. There's a fifth part that I didn't add here. But I think these four parts are the main parts. In the first part, you see Job's life is introduced and how he was righteous, how he was a good man. And then all of a sudden, Satan appears before this heavenly realm and is talking, has a dialogue with God. And then from that, he challenges God that Job would deny him if he were to suffer. And then the Lord allows Satan to punish or to bring this suffering on Job's life. And the second part, we see Job's complaint on how he curses the day he was born, on how he regrets that he was born, and so on and so forth. And then, after that, his friends come to him and start trying to console him and try to make sense of what is going, of what Job is going through. And they give their answer, their perspective of that. And their view is that if Job is suffering, he must have done something wrong. Because innocent people do not suffer. If you're suffering, then you have done something. And later on, God starts addressing Job and his friends. And in the Lord's answer, it says that all those, the perspective Job's friends were bringing to the light was not correct. It's not necessarily that people go through some bad things in life because they have done something wrong. It's not necessarily so. And then the theme of the book, as I said, is that we ought to trust in God despite the challenges and the problems that we may go through. Now, we ought to stay in that place of, okay, I'm going through all this. I don't understand it. It does not make any sense. But yet, I'll still trust in God. I don't know everything, but God knows what he's doing. And that's what, after God addresses Job, I said we could add a fifth part here. After God addresses Job and his friends, this is the realization that Job comes to. Say, I did not know better. I do not know everything. God knows better than I do. Right? So this is the main theme we get from the book. Now, As I said, I do not wish to just make an introduction of the book per se, but I said we are going to see some text and see, have another perspective on dealing with suffering. And I will just focus on the first part of it, of the book, in chapter number 1. And we're going to read from there, and then we're going to move on. In chapter 1, there are three sections there in chapter 1. And the first one talks about Job's prosperity and integrity before God. And the text goes from verse 1 to 5. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. So that this man was the greatest of all people of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. And they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them. And they would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their heart." Thus Job did continually. So in this first section, we see that, first of all, Job was blessed. He was prosperous. And the Bible says he was the greatest man, right, of all East. And then besides that, we see that Job was a thoughtful person. He would pray for his children, not because he was sure that they had sinned, but to say he would pray and offer sacrifices in his heart, saying, if they have sinned, then in case they have sinned, then the Lord will forgive their trespass. And the Bible tells us that Job did that continually, and he was a person of integrity before the Lord. Not only was he prosperous, but he was a person of integrity before the Lord. Now, the second part after the devil challenged Job, we see that Satan comes now and takes away Job's property and children. And the text goes from verse 14 to 19. And there came a messenger to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Shabeans fell upon them and took them and struck down the servant with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there were another and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck them down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you." Now, in this portion now, we see Job moves from being a person of integrity, and all of the sudden, all that he had, all his children, all his possessions, they are taken away from him. And this is a challenge that Satan brought to God. Say, if Job were to lose all his possessions, then he would curse you. But that was not the case. We know Job remained steadfast before God. And now the devil say, okay, let me, he would do anything for his life. Losing possessions, it's okay, he may still remain faithful. But what if he were to lose everything in his life? And in later on we know, he say, Satan, this should be chapter 2, not chapter 1. That's a mistake there. Chapter 2, 7 to 8. He say, Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. And he took a piece of a broken pottery with which to scrape himself while he sat in the ashes. Now, from he lost his possession and now he's sick. Job is now sick. And when we read this text, one thing that we realize is that you may be a good person. You may be a person of integrity before God. But yet, disaster may come to strike. Disaster may come to your life, even though you are a good, person, or you are a good Christian from your own point of view. Right? You do everything you are supposed to do. You pray, you fast, you give, you lead a self-controlled life. But yet, problems may come into our lives. And we may go through difficulties. Matter of fact, I believe most of us who are sitting here, we may, in some point of our life, gone through some hard time, some difficult time, that things did not make any sense, right? Maybe with you personally, maybe with someone close to you, maybe you have lost something, and things stop making sense. Now, how do we respond to these situations when they come in our lives? And I think here we can learn something from Job. How did Job respond when all these things took place? And if you read at the end of chapter number 2, you see that Job, he never forgot God. The Bible tells us he did not curse God. He accepted that things, bad things would happen in his life. But he did not curse God. He remained faithful. And this is one lesson that I learned from, that we can take from Job. That no matter what we are going through, we have to remain steadfast. We have to remain focused on God. In the book of Psalm chapter number 77, verse 1 to 2, the Bible says here, I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me in the day of trouble. I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearing. Brothers and sisters, there will be that day of tribulation in your life. There will be that day of trouble. But what are you going to do when that day comes? And I think we can be like the psalmist here. Instead of running away from the Lord, instead of cursing the Lord, we ought to come to draw near to him when things are not going as we wish they would go. In the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33, the Lord Jesus says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulations. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So the Lord Jesus never promised that if we believe in him, if we come to him, everything is just going to be okay. Everything is just going to be good. You know, nowadays there are some people who, this kind of message that if you come to God, everything is going to be okay, is very popular nowadays. If you open YouTube and you watch messages there, and this kind of message that comes mixed with, those motivational speech, right? Come to tell you, you can make it. You just enjoy the good of the land. Everything is going to be okay. Don't worry. Everything is going to be fine. But if you read from the Bible does not give us this picture that everything is going to be okay all the time. We are going to go through some hardships, right? We are going to go through difficulty. But when we go through those times, our response is important. And Job's response, you see here, he say, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped and said, naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. So Job did not charge God with wrong. Job did not sin. So if we go through difficulties and problems, we also ought to have this attitude. Now, if you have a different attitude than this, if you go through trials and tribulations, it is because most of the times we think that God should bless us. Right? Underneath that assumption, okay, if there is a God, if God really made us, if God really cares about us, then there should be no suffering. We are assuming with that God owes us a good life. God has to give us, just let us go through these good things. If something bad is coming our way, it's God's responsibility to take it away. Right? But the point is, I don't know if you have thought about this before. Why should God really care about you and me, as evil as we are? Our hearts are so evil. We are so sinful, right? And we don't even listen. We don't even listen to God most of the times. We deny him. We run away from him. But still, we say, he ought to take care of us. No, brothers and sisters. Actually, God is kind to us. If it was not for his kindness, none of us should be sitting here today. We don't deserve to be sitting in these benches. We don't deserve to be standing. I don't deserve to be here in this pulpit, standing here and sharing this message with you, because I am sinful. I should be dead by this time if God were to count my sins all these years that I have accumulated. But I'm here standing. It is because of his grace. So if you change your perspective, God does not owe you anything. If he were to count your sins, you would not be standing here today. So if we are here today, it is because of his mercy. It is because of his kindness. It is because of his love. Right? It is because of his love. So if you take this perspective, no matter what happens to you, you'll not have this complaining heart. You will have this, you'll have a thankful heart. God, I've made it thus far because of your grace. I've made it thus far because of your kindness. Right? But you may ask, say, my brother Sergio, the Lord Jesus said, even you who are evil know how to give good things to your children. How much more God, right? If you ask him good things, right, he will give you good things. So I'm going through this problem, and I've been asking God, why doesn't he give me the good things? Why doesn't he take away these problems from my life? How do we reconcile that then? How do we reconcile that? God is so good. He cares. He wants to see us well. Yet, I'm going through this. How do I make of that? How did How did suffering and pain, how did evil came about? In the book of Genesis, we read the first chapter, verse 31. It says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day." God did not intend for us to live in an evil world. He did not intend us to live in a chaotic world. God wanted us to live in a good, perfect, painless with a world with immune from suffering. It was our choices. It is our choices, even up to this day, because we have chosen to rebel against God. We have chosen to reject his instructions. And through sin, pain, and suffering got their way into this world. And unfortunately, we live in this chaotic world. And you know the story, the book of Genesis chapter number 3, verse 6. Man disobeyed God. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. So you see, Adam and Eve, they rejected God's guidance. They rejected God's instruction. They wanted to take charge. And the moment we decide to take charge is when things, as the phrase says, is when things go south, right? We want to know better, or we claim to know better. And because of that, suffering and pain came about. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 8, verse 7, again here we see the people come and ask for a king. And Samuel cries, and he goes to pray. And this is what God's answer was for Samuel. He said, "And the Lord said to Samuel, obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them, according to all the deeds that they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are also doing to you." So you see, men throughout all generations, we have denied, we want to be lords over ourselves. And yet we say, if something goes wrong, God should come to the rescue by all means, right? He must, he ought to come to the rescue. And actually, he does come most of the times. But it's like a man or a woman who has started fire in their house. What we human beings have done, we have started fire in our house. And we start calling, crying for help. Okay, come, help us. Help us deal with this fire. Yes, help may come, but there are consequences for the fire we have started. There are consequences for rejecting the instructions of God. We have opened the door for sin, and with sin came suffering and pain. With sin came suffering and pain. But the Lord knows what you are going through, and he loves you and is there by your side in this chaotic world, in this world full of pain and suffering. The Lord is by our side. And that's what we have to hold on to. The Lord Jesus said, "You'll go through all these things, but take good heart, because I have overcome the world." So the Lord Jesus has overcome, has overcome. He has won the victory for us, right, in this chaotic world. And I would like to share with you this story of an American soldier who, during the World War II, they had this accident. They were driving this war aircraft, and then they clashed with the enemy aircraft, and they fell into the water in the, I think it's the Pacific Ocean. And him and his friend, his surname, if I remember it well, is an Italian surname, is Zasperini, if I'm pronouncing it, if I remember it well. But the story is that these three gentlemen you see here from sitting in the sea, they fell in the Pacific Ocean. And they were there for 47 days after they had this accident. No food, no water, no friends. And it was so terrible, right? They had to kill the fish from the sea and try to get food for themselves. And Zasperini, he said, he prayed to God. And he said, God, if you save me from this disaster, if I can leave this ocean, after they had drifted for 2,000 miles, just in open ocean, no help. If you save me, I will serve you. And in the end, these two friends died. Only he, one, survived. And God saved him, really. But you don't imagine how he was saved. He was saved by a ship of the enemy's soldiers. Right? So after 47 days, he was taken away from the sea, but he was taken by the enemy's forces, and he was in a prison camp for 2 years. He suffered more than he had suffered in the sea. For 2 years, he lived like a prisoner of war. And then after he left, by God's grace, he didn't die. He survived also the 2 years of being prisoner of war, and then he went back to his country in the United States of America. But he couldn't understand why he had gone through all that. And when he came back to America, he did not give his life to God immediately, even though he had said, if you save me, God, I'll give my life to you. He did not give his life to God. Why? Because he couldn't make sense of why he had suffered so much in his life. It didn't make sense, right? But by God's grace, you see, in all these 47 days he was in the sea, in all these 2 years he was living as a prisoner of war, throughout all this suffering. I'm saying, no matter what you are going through, throughout all what you are going through, the Lord Jesus is there holding you by your hand, and you'll go through it. Even if you do not go through it, Paul says, if this tabernacle that we have, these fleshly bodies, were to be destroyed, we know that's not the end. There is a future that God has prepared for us. So no matter what we are going through, it does not mean God is not with you. There is a future he has prepared for you. He said we have these heavenly tabernacles that we live with him for eternity. But by God's grace, later on, this young man, he went to and attended, this is the real guy with Billy Graham. This is the other photos, they were from a movie. The name of the movie is called Unbroken. There are two movies. The first one, which talks about how they spent these 47 days in the sea, and then they were taken prisoners. The second one, how after he went home, it was difficult to give his life to God. But through listening to one of Billy Graham's crusades, God touched his heart and assured him that in all those that time of suffering, God was with him, and he had a plan for him through those trials. Now, trials, we live in a world that has trials and sufferings, but through it all, God is with us. And actually, God can use these problems that we go through to refine our character, to make us better vessels to serve him. And in all this, God had a plan. And brothers and sisters, whatever suffering, whatever problems you may encountering, as you go through this, as you go through your desert, God is with you. And if he can give you the grace to go through it, you'll take lessons from those problems and strengthen your relationship. Use them to strengthen your relationship with God, not as an excuse to go away from him. In Job chapter 23, verse 10, the Bible says, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold." He said, Job said, in all these things that I'm going through now, when I pass through them all, I'll come out as gold. I'll come out refined. So say, use these sufferings as an opportunity to be refined for him. That's why James, in the book of James, chapter number 1-4, he say, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." So we're going to meet trials of various kinds. He says, "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that it may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So in all that you are going through, no matter how hard it is, I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters. I just want to encourage you that we live in a broken world because of sin. Because we human beings have rejected God's instructions. We have opened the doors for sin to get into this world. And with sin came this suffering, came this pain, came this chaos. And no one, even those who walk with Jesus, are immune to these situations. So we will all go through these situations. But as we're going through this situation, my encouragement is that hold on to the hand of Jesus. Don't let go. Hold on to his hand. Do not let these problems drive you away from him. Do not let these problems take you out from his presence, brothers and sisters. Hold on to him and ask God to use these problems, these trials, these sufferings to refine you. And he says, actually, this patience builds in us endurance. So it's a way. Use this, pray that God will, in these troubles, use them as an opportunity to strengthen you, to mold you, to make you a better vessel to serve God. Can I hear an amen? The Lord Jesus himself went through a lot. Paul himself went through a lot. And that was a way that God was showing us that in this world, this is a broken world. This is a broken system. But in it all, let us trust in God. And thank him that as sinful as we are, he still shows us grace. And he is going to, through whatever we go, the situation we go through, he's going to help us, to refine us. Now, I want us to take some time to pray. To pray that the Lord will help you, brothers and sisters. I do not know the situation you are going through. You also do not know the situation I am going through or the situation I went through. But I'm sure most of us sitting here, we have gone through something hard. If you haven't, perhaps we thank God for that. But you may go through some hardship in the future. And also if you don't, we thank God for that. To God all the glory, to God all the praise. If he would spare us, if some way, somehow, he would help us that we don't go through any great loss, any big disease, that we don't go through, Job went through great loss. He lost his children, his property, and even disease in his body. I pray that we will not go through that. But if we were to go through it, we want to hold on to his hand and not let go. And know that in all this, the Lord is with us. In all this, we'll pray that his glory, his love, his kindness be manifest through this situation. And we're going to use it as a testimony someday. Say, he has used this situation to refine us, to teach us endurance, to teach us patience, to mold us as strong vessels, vessels of gold that do not break for his ministry. Let us pray. You may also pray for the brother or the sister sitting beside you. If you know their name, mention their name. If you don't know their name, just pray for them. Lord, I do not know what situation my brother, my sister is going through this morning. I do not know what news he has heard. Maybe he has lost a loved one and life doesn't make sense anymore. Maybe they told him he has this disease that is terminal. Maybe you heard someone in their family has this disease which is terminal. Things now are blur. Pray for them. Lord, help them. Lord, strengthen them. Lord, may they never leave your hand, Lord, as they go through this storm. Like Job, when he went through the storm, he didn't understand what was going on. Because he thought himself to be righteous. Why, God? Doesn't make any sense. In all these questions, I will still hold on to your hand, Lord. I will not let go. Actually, I'm so sinful. But you are kind. And it's your kindness and your mercy that has kept me alive. Lord, I will not let go. I will not let go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord. Help us. Whatever it is that we're going through, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help my brothers and my sisters. Or whatever any one of us here in this building are going through today, help us, Lord.